All right, we got one more ranty, whiny episode. We're gonna move on to other things. So I got to finish up Weyland Yutani stories. I got a pile over here. There's a pile everywhere, but I got a pile over there of things I need to go through and consolidate notes. Anyhow, yeah, more bitching about the internet. That's what you're gonna get today. You don't like it? Go fuck yourselves. You can scream and shout with all your might. You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. Yes, you can shove your opinions up your ass, so either Trump and Fuhrer's cock has somewhere to keep something fuck. I blame the government shutdown. You know, I can't podcast because the federal government is shut down. I can't function. Yes, welcome. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform for which I love to do this. Blah, statist. You know, oftentimes things are not as exciting as you might have thought they were. So many episodes ago, it's been a while, I talked about... Why is this in my way? Over there. Talked about this video I ran across on the YouTube, the fall of SS Sniper Wolf, and I started watching it. It's internet drama. And I told you that while I assumed that these people are right-wingers and she's a left-winger or something like that, I still haven't finished the video. It's only 29 minutes long. I've just been watching it in little chunks here. I'm at 24 minutes in. And you know, it's even more pathetic than I thought it was. The internet drama. The YouTube drama. Is this really what people on YouTube have to do with their lives? This isn't even a debate over something that matters, like politics or economics or philosophy. These are people who play computer games. And this Sniper Wolf chick who called other people, you know, crybabies because they wanted to sue her is now running around trying to sue other people on YouTube because, like, one person made a video about how Sniper Wolf photoshops her pictures to make herself look cuter. I mean, the girl is, she's a thought. She's an internet thought. She's a YouTube thought. She goes on YouTube wearing a bunch of makeup and she plays computer games, and men who don't have boys who don't have girlfriends give her money. She's an internet thought. And other people who play computer games on the internet, on YouTube, are saying that she is a thought who photoshops her pictures and she's trying to sue them. You know, I'm so happy that I don't live in a society where the aims of people are directed towards things like building a base on the moon, going to Mars, figuring out nuclear power in ways that make it safe and convenient. Oh wait, that already exists, we're just afraid of it. Just, really? It's fucking computer. People who play video games on YouTube calling each other names. My God, you people. Yeah, and then when I have to hear women whining about how oppressed they are. Yes, this poor little thought. She is so fucking oppressed. Moving on, I want to talk about something else for a second, because we haven't bitched about people screaming racist enough. We got to get some more of that in. And then we're going to move on. Then we're going to make fun of sex offenders and trannies. So it's going to be a little shift of pace. I bet you're really excited about that. I am. I'm ready to talk about something other than the use of racism, the use of the accusation. The use of the accusation of racism as a substitute for having ideas. And I think one of the reasons racism has become so popular lately, even though there's less racism in the United States than ever before, despite what you might think, just a quick reminder, I have actually seen with my own eyes, talked about this story long ago. I haven't talked about this in a long time because I don't need to, don't care to, don't want to. Not because it was traumatic. I'm over it. I'm not going to talk about it. I've actually seen a black man hanging from a rope. Doesn't really happen anymore. I hate to tell you that. But we're going to cling to racism. You know why the younger generations cling to racism? I'm going to tell you. One reason. I'm not saying this is the only reason. I'm saying this is a fragment of it. I am currently watching season one of Westworld. Now, some of you may know Westworld from the movie with Yul Brynner, which is a fantastic movie. They made a sequel called Future World, which you don't want to watch unless you just want to watch it to say you saw it. I actually tried locating it. I have so far been unable to locate a copy of Future World. Wait a minute, I wonder if it's somebody's bootlegged it on YouTube. Wait on, let me see if YouTube is good for something other than people who play computer games calling each other names. Now that I looked at Brittany Pettibone is all over my, oh God. There's another movie called Future World. Oh, here it is. You can watch Future World on YouTube for $3. I'm not giving YouTube my credit card number, unfortunately. There's another Future World. Oh, here's the original trailer. Future World, 2018. God! Future World 2018. 18! Teen! Goddammit! 18! Why is this so hard? 2018. James Franco post-apocalypse sci-fi movie. Oh gosh! Another post-apocalypse movie. Hold on. Here we have The World in 2050, The Real Future of Earth, full BBC documentary. Here's a documentary from the BBC. The Real Future of Earth. Oh boy. Will global warming trigger catastrophic change? Of course it will, because we have to scare people. All right, anyway, see, this is why I can't go on the internet. Right here, you're seeing it. All right, I'll watch this preview later and make fun of this. I'll put the future world trailer in the show notes if I remember to do that. Anyway, Westworld was a great movie. Yul Brynner is the gunslinger. And so somebody somewhere remade Westworld into a television series. I'm on season one. There's 10 episodes. I don't know. I'm on the second disc. Initially, it seemed harmless enough, and it started getting worse. And then I reached over and grabbed the clipboard and started taking notes. And yes, you're going to get an episode in which I will tell you everything wrong with this TV series. And there's a lot wrong with it, and it's getting worse. It's like watching a train wreck. And the reason we have a Westworld television series based on the Westworld movie, which was from, I mean, Future World was 76. Westworld was 1973. We got to go all the way back to 1973 for our ideas, if you're a millennial. They don't have any original ideas. And this is part of the reason why the left is so obsessed with racism. They don't have any original ideas. Once again, the social justice warrior type, they are the kind of people who cling to this fantasy in which they are saviors. Okay, they're like Yankees. They have this messiah savior complex, right? If you talk to the average Yankee, they'll be happy to tell you about how they came down to the South during the Civil War and freed the slaves. See, Abraham Lincoln didn't do that. Ulysses Grant didn't do that. The Northern Army didn't do that. See, they did that. We freed the slaves. And as the social justice warrior sits around casting about for some type of narrative to bring into their life in which they can be the hero, first of all, they don't have any original ideas, right? What was the narrative way back in the day? Well, it was racism. And just as when you're sitting there at whatever production company made Westworld, and you're thinking, man, we need to make some kind of TV series where we can have lots of gratuitous nudity and gratuitous violence, and we can portray white men in a bad light and all this other stuff. What kind of narrative can we come up with to push our political agendas? And, well, we could think of something new. At least new-ish, you're going to say, there's no new ideas under the sun, great one. They could think of something new-ish, or they could reimagine something the way George Lucas reimagined the original Star Wars. Right? He took the space operas and he made the movie he wanted to see. Or you look at something like Raiders of the Lost Ark. But they're not going to do that. Because I don't think they can. They don't have the imagination. And so just as these producers at whatever company sat around and said, well, you know, I saw this movie, Westworld. It was made in 1973. I bet we could reboot that. The social justice warrior looks around for a problem that needs to be solved. And instead of, I don't know, noticing any of the problems that actually exist, like, for example, God forbid we do an episode where I don't mention this, you know, for example, the problem of brown Muslims in third world countries getting blown up by missiles launched from flying robots. I mean, that's a pretty new problem, geologically speaking. Okay, back in the 1960s, there were no brown Muslim people in third world countries being blown up by missiles launched from flying robots while they, the brown people, not the flying robots, were attending weddings. Now see, there's an original-ish problem you could put some effort into solving if you, I don't know, actually gave a shit about these Muslims. Just got an email from the website. Website is undergoing an attack right now from a IP address in Canada, you damn Canadians. Anyway, we know that it's not really from Canada. It could be anyway, it's a bot, whatever. But anyhow, yeah, website's under attack. That's cool. It's fine. It can protect itself. There's plenty of problems that could be tackled, but the SJW chooses, much as studio executives choose, to reheat something from the past. One part is lack of imagination, because if you're going to reheat Westworld, right? I mean, you can build on what's there, but you've got something there to build on. You don't have to start from scratch. You don't have to come up with the concept of, this is going to take way longer than I expected it to. God damn it. You don't have to come up with the concept from scratch of, what would happen if some people built a theme park and the theme park was staffed by robots. And the robots could be killed, but they couldn't kill people. So you could go in and it was safe. And then what would happen if the robots malfunctioned and started killing people? Same thing with the reboot of Star Trek. Same thing with the reboot of Mission Impossible. Whatever it is, whatever's been rebooted, and you know there's been the reboot after Ocean's 11, Ocean's 8. Because you could cast about for a new idea, or at least a new-ish idea. New-ish. Once again, Raiders of the Lost Ark. New-ish. I mean, okay, it's an adventure movie. At its core, it's an adventure movie. But new-ish. Star Wars. Sure, it's a space opera and George Lucas borrowed from things that he saw as a kid and all this stuff, but he put it together in a very unique way. And he did it without politics. Because God knows, we got to shove politics into everything. We want anybody to go see a movie and just be entertained. Can't have that. But there's a second aspect to this. There's three aspects that I'm going to talk about. There's more than this, but there's three that I'm going to talk about. I should probably write this down. You know what amazes me? A lot of things amaze me. It amazes me. I have about 10 clipboards with paper in them. Whenever I need to write down notes, I can't find a fucking clipboard to save my life. No new ideas. That's number one. Number two, let me write that down. Okay. The second aspect of this is that in their casting about for a problem around which they can build a narrative that they are subsequently going to go forth and solve in order to be the hero, they need something safe. Actually, now that I think about it, much like Westworld. You go into Westworld and you have the robots there. The robots cannot harm people, but people can harm the robots. It's safe. You can go in there and shoot other people, even though they're faster on the gun with you. You can go rape women. They're not really women. They're robots, but it's safe. It's totally safe. The SJW, in searching for a problem around which to build their narrative, in which they are going to insert themselves as the hero, they're also looking for something safe. Okay? They do not want to tackle serious problems like brown people getting blown up by missiles, the Imperial United States of America, military bases all around the world. We don't want to solve big problems like that. Because those problems are hard to solve. So what kind of problem are we looking for? Well, we're looking for a problem that's safe to insert into our narrative. What kind of problem is safe to insert into our narrative? Well, problem that's pretty much fucking solved already. That would be the safest problem to insert. You could go forth and you could try to cure cancer. Or you can encourage other people to get a flu shot. Better yet, here's a better analogy. You could go forth and try to cure cancer, which would require some effort, some work. Or you can make fun of anti-vaxxers on the internet. So you can go forth and you can look into, investigate, try to delve into and solve the question of did the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation really embezzle all that money that was supposed to go to disaster relief? Or you can get on the internet and call other people racist. See, one of those is very difficult. Would require work, would require effort, would require you, in fact, possibly endangering yourself, since people who piss off Hillary Clinton tend to end up dead. Or you can take the very safe problem, which is mostly solved, of racism, and then go forth and try to pretend that you are solving it. Because, just today I was outside, I was actually changing windshield wipers on the truck, and, I saw a slave caravan come through. There were some white guys, and they'd captured a whole bunch of black people and had them in chains, and they were taking them down to the plantations in Denver to sell them, to pick cotton. Slavery is still a huge problem. That's why Yankees can't shut the fuck up about how they freed the slaves. They personally, just like when their football teams win. Yeah, we did it. We won. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You won. Good job, man. The SJWs cling to racism because, number one, they have no new ideas. There's a plethora of problems in the world. Real problems, not fake problems like I can't figure out if I'm a boy or a girl. And they're not going to solve any of those problems because those problems would require science, real science, not global warming science, or real technology, or real engineering, or real money. None of these people have money except for other people's money that they get through taxation, which is theft. They cling to racism because racism is, for the most part, in the United States, already solved. Unfortunately, here in the United States, white people are nowhere near as racist as you would like people to think they are. I rather wish white people were as racist as you claim, as I drop things on the floor. I rather wish white people were doing as much to exclude non-white people from our society. Instead, we have white people whose daughters get murdered by brown people adopting brown babies. Well, brown 17-year-old teenagers who are abandoned by their parents. There's some good DNA. Let's keep that shit in the gene pool. At least the white people's daughter got killed and we got her DNA out of the gene pool. Third reason. That SJWs cling to racism. Which we talked about before. Racism is such an emotional topic because other people can't control their emotions, right? You're expected to do it for them, especially if you are a heterosexual white man. It is your responsibility to manage other people's emotions, according to them. The accusation of racist is such an emotional topic for overly emotional people that it circumvents rational discussion. And the SJW isn't capable of rational discussion because, we can bounce back to, they don't have any new ideas. And they're not willing to go out on a limb with their ideas. Now, I've been doing this podcast for 14 fucking years. I've gone out on a limb with ideas. I've floated a lot of shit on this podcast. Much of it, as I look back, was wrong. Once again, that's for the stupid people. Okay, let's say you're a stupid person listening to this. You should kill yourself. But before you kill yourself, understand, see, this is the shtick. This is the I won't say joke. This is the punchline. This is the moral of the story. This is why I'm always right. I'm always right because I've been wrong more times than you. Because I have course corrected more times than you have. Because I stand here and I throw shit against the wall and I see what sticks. I was listening to The Dick Show, again, because I listened to The Dick Show, still binging on that shit. I'm a year behind. I'm only a year behind on The Dick Show. And he was talking about, he did this little spiel, and what he said was essentially this, I'm going to paraphrase. So yeah, this other person, he said this thing, and I thought about it, and I said, oh, that's smarter than what I've said all these years. And I have this policy that if I have an idea and somebody else comes along with a better idea than my idea and they're smarter than I am, I have to take my idea out behind the barn and I shoot it and I replace it with their idea. And I've done the same thing. My years, not just the 14 years of podcasting, but my years of being awake and actually thinking, I have taken a lot of ideas out behind the barn and shot them. Which again goes back to all of you morons out there who think, well, I just don't understand, right? That's why I'm an anarcho-capitalist. See, I just don't understand the benefits of communism. I just don't understand the benefits of socialism. See, I just don't understand that national socialism, this is for all you Nazis, national socialism will work. We just have to do it right. You know, I just don't understand Christian. I just don't understand there's an invisible man in the sky. I just don't understand that, yes, you do need the government to put people in cages in order to have roads. See, there's all these things I just don't understand because I'm so fucking stupid. And what you don't understand is that your dumbass fucking statist ideas, I took those ideas behind the barn and I shot them. And once again, yes, we cannot have an anarcho-capitalist society with the population of people we have right now. That's why we need the natural selection. Or space travel. Actual space travel, space stations, colonies on Mars, etc. We either need a lot of dead people on Earth, or we need an option to get the fuck away from the planet Earth, where the dumb people are at. So you have a great one. Anarcho-capitalism won't work in the real world. No, I'm perfectly aware of that. It won't work in the real world with the people who are alive today. Okay? Let me just explain this because some of you may not got this yet. The problem is not anarcho-capitalism. The problem is the people that have been bred by the state. Now, the true racists out there are thinking, of course, and I'm talking about black people. That's, if when I said that, if you thought, ooh, he's a racist against black people, if that's what you thought, that's called projection. I sidetracked there. I went tangenting. I know, it's hard to believe. I need to get back to the point. People, and I shouldn't just say SJWs, because remember, we're putting everyone in this. If I hear some fucking Republican tell me that Democrats are the real racist one more goddamn time, I swear to God, I'm going to fucking get a fucking lead pipe and smash them in the fucking face. Because you're just as devoid of ideas as anyone. Yes, I'm perfectly aware that the Democrat Party is also the party of the Ku Klux Klan. Thank you. Unlike those of you who think the Civil War was a civil war, I fucking know something about the goddamn war for Southern independence. Yes, the Democrat Party was the party in favor of slaves. But I don't need to hear one more goddamn time about how Democrats are the real racist. You know who the real racist is? I'll tell you who the real racist is. It doesn't fucking matter because all of you are stupid. Stupidity trumps racism. I would rather live in a society with genuinely racist people than stupid ones. With racist, at least you know where you stand. With stupid people, you could be anywhere. Because stupid people don't have fucking coherent, consistent thoughts from one moment to the next. Because they're stupid. And with stupid people, need an easy narrative to cling to. Such as racism. More importantly, on to, let me finally get to the third point. So we can move on and make fun of trannies. And public school administrators. Stupid people cling to racism because the accusation of racism is sufficiently effective that they can use it to circumvent having to have ideas. Here's what I mean by that. Again, let me give you an example of where I thought about this. In the previous episodes, we were reading about Brittany Pettibone, and we found that rational wiki page where it said she was a white supremacist and she hangs out with other white supremacists such as, and one of the white supremacists, sorry, I think it actually said white nationalist. I'm going, tempting to be honest here. To be accurate, is perhaps a better word than honest. Attempting to be accurate. On their list of white nationalists, they included Stefan Molyneux. So let's say you're going to go and debate Stefan Molyneux. This is a man who's been doing philosophy, logic, reasoning, writing books, podcasting, video casting, talking to people, interviewing people, being interviewed, interacting with other people. The guy's been doing this shit for, I don't know, 20 years? I think he's wrong about some stuff, but he's very intelligent, very articulate human being. I could not debate Stefan Molyneux and win, unless maybe I got him drunk first. I mean, I would say never say never. I would say my chances of winning a debate with Stefan Molyneux would be slim. Now you've got some 23-year-old SJW who wants to disagree with Stefan Molyneux about something. What are the odds that's going to work out? The odds are zero. They know they're not going to win that debate. If they try, they're going to get destroyed. And so you go straight to calling Stefan Molyneux a white nationalist. Because once again, because everybody, including faggots on the right and cuckservatives, everybody is so terrified of the label racist that you can circumvent an entire discussion. It remains to be seen how the pedophiles will use this exactly in order to get pedophilia legalized. But I guarantee you the time is coming where if you are opposed to 42-year-old men having sex with 8-year-old boys, you are going to be an ist. You will be racist. Some of you think that's not going to happen. Well, you're morons. Because racism, because of all the collective white guilt here in the United States, is a card that can always be played. Not the race card. Not the card as in, I am black. But the racist card, as in, you are racist. And that's the beauty of the racist card. Anyone can use it. Even heterosexual white men can call other people racist. It's truly a card that can be played by any fucking fag, any victim, any loser, anybody who cannot intellectually counter a point which is put forth to them. Right? It's okay to be white. Well, you're a racist. Wait, but why is it not okay? So what do you mean? Is it not okay to be white? Are you disagreeing with the assertion that it's okay to be white? Well, that's racist. Okay, well, what is racist? Define racist. Why is the phrase, it's okay to be white, racist? Can a phrase be racist? Do you mean the intention of the person who said the phrase is racist? Okay, well, how do you know their intention is racist? Do you have evidence of this? There's this whole intellectual exploration where you define words and discuss ideas that has to happen. But most people, left-wing or right-wing statist, it doesn't matter because you're all too fucking stupid to make a flat place on the ground without the government putting people in cages. The average statist can't engage in that discussion. And racist is your get-out-of-jail-free card. Actually, it's your get-out-of-intelligent-discussion-free card. It's like, oh my God, somebody wants me to actually support my stupid-ass opinions with some kind of evidence. I'd better play the racism card. Remember, folks, step number one is when some moron calls you racist. Oh, and then there's the Manospherian faggots.
Agree and amplify, man. Yeah, man, when you got them girls, man, I fucked so many girls, man. Dude, I'm a player. Dude, with some bitch, man, she like shit test you, dog. Dude, agree and amplify, dog. Agree and amplify.
Okay, well, when a motherfucker calls you racist, agree and amplify. These same PUAs will fucking piss themselves if you call them racist. I guarantee it. Because everyone will shit their pants if you call them racist. Everyone. Because they know nothing will inspire the lynch mob more than racist. And that's why the low intelligence people use it. Because they don't have anything high intelligence. So they got to substitute the racist card. When someone calls you racist, agree and amplify. Why, yes. In fact, I sold 3 slaves to the plantation just this morning. Now, would you mind defining racism? Just ask, really, just ask people to define words. What? 7 out of 10 times, you will win right there because nobody can define the words they use. And as soon as somebody starts using a word they can't define, they're a moron. This is why I don't like using words like rights, because I can't define what a right is because rights don't exist. And I've taken lots of philosophy classes. I don't want to hear your shit. Well, Thomas Hobbes said, now Thomas Hobbes can suck my ballsack. Rights do not exist. You can't show me a right. You can show me a coffee cup. You can show me an ink pen. You can show me a laptop computer. You can show me a little Supergirl statue. You cannot show me a right.
Well, it's an abstract concept.
No, it's, yeah, it is. One that doesn't exist. I have an abstract concept also. It's called the Starship Enterprise. It doesn't fucking exist, okay? That's why I don't wear my Starfleet uniform to work, because it's not real. Okay, that's enough of that. Star Tribune. Exrasori School's chief admits to... Wait, hold on, let me try that again. Ex-Rissori, Rissori must be a city or something, I don't know, Rissori School District. Ex-Rissori School's chief admits to some of many indecent exposure allegations. A former Central Minnesota school superintendent struck a plea deal involving a slew of allegations that he exposed himself in numerous stores. Scott Stanska, 57 years old, who led the Ricori School District until being put on paid administrative leave and then resigning after his arrest, admitted Friday in District County Court to 4 counts of indecent exposure. Connection with incidents at St. Cloud and Wayett Park. The plea calls for him to do community service and submit to a psychosexual evaluation. Now, if he would have actually put his dick into the ass of some 8-year-old children, well, he would be a victim. But all he did, apparently, was expose himself in Quick Trip stores. Staska of Cold Springs was arrested in March and accused of exposing himself in 2 Quick Trip stores. Police met with Stanska on March 21st to show him surveillance videos of one of the incidents. Stanska admitted it was him. Guys, never admit. It's never admit. Duh. Police in Wyatt Park say Stanska exposed himself 4 times at the Quickie Trip on Great Oaks Drive, 3 times in the Super America on 3rd Street North, and twice on the Quick Trips in 10th Avenue by 1. And this is... Stanska, who withdrew from consideration of being the next superintendent of Moorhead School District, had no similar accusations against him involving students or staff in the district. This is the public school system. Oh my God. Oh, this is, hold on. Deal with this. All right, whatever. This is, by golly, you know, we really need the government to run the school system. These are the people you're hiring. Oh, boy. This is who gets hired. All right. I only found that because it was a link on this other article from December 21st, 2018. Almost current events, which you know we don't do on this show. All right, here we go. I gotta get going because I'm not going long and I'm not making another episode here. Jury award to transgender woman after a rejection by football team is a Minnesota first. Player awarded $20,000 in pioneering business discrimination case. This is a pioneering business discrimination case. What that means to say that this is pioneering, right? When the pioneers went west and of course exterminated the American Indians, when the pioneers went west, what followed the pioneers? More people. See, this is a pioneering business discrimination case. What that means is there's going to be more of this coming. Because once again, we don't have real problems to solve. Think of all the money that's wasted by the judicial system. Think of all the research. What about all the global warming caused in the process of these cases? Right? Heating the building, everybody driving to the fucking, what do you call it, courthouse? We care so much about the earth, don't we? By we, I mean you. All right. Christina Ginther, a transgender woman, otherwise known as a man, had long been an athlete looking for a supportive social group. See, those are called friends and family. But oh, that's right. Leftists have destroyed the nuclear family and alienated people from each other. Now, trannies can't find a support group, right? Because the family has been destroyed. And if you talk to people in public and those people happen to be female, well, now you're a rapist. She thought she had found it in the fall of 2016 with the Minnesota Vixen football team, then part of the Independent Women's Football League. Team members welcomed her and cheered her on during an open practice before tryouts. I thought, this is it, she said Friday. I found my home. But when the team's owner discovered that Ginther was transgender, the team yanked the welcome mat. This week, a Dakota County jury found, yes, jury of my peers. There's nothing more reassuring than knowing that I can get a jury of my peers if I'm accused of a crime. Although where you're going to find 12 people who are my peers, I don't know. This week, well, I guess we get the 12 listeners of this podcast. This week, a Dakota County jury found the team and the league discriminated against Ginther because she is transgender, a violation of the Minnesota Human Rights Act. God damn, I can't read. Ginther was awarded $10,000 for emotional distress and $10,000 in punitive damages. Honestly, I'm surprised the payout was that low. The decision, her attorney said Friday evening, is significant because it is believed to be the first time a jury decided in favor of a transgender person in a business discrimination case in Minnesota. It's believed. You would think that the courthouse would have records of jury decisions. And so you could do a computer search, because everything's on a computer nowadays, because God forbid anybody use a piece of paper. You would think you could do a computer search and find out if it is, in fact, the first time a jury decided in favor of a transgender person in a business discrimination case in Minnesota. You shouldn't have to believe that one way or the other. This should be verifiable. Quote, these are the discriminatory things that happen to transgender people every day. Even these small things can create significant mental health and esteem issues for transgender people, said Nicholas May, Ginther's attorney. Yes, because transgender people are just like you and me, Only they're really, really, really emotionally fragile. And anything could just set them off and just crush their life. The jury decided that's not right, May said. Quote, it wasn't some law professor or some politician getting up and talking about transgender rights, he said. It's a jury of regular folks who are saying this isn't okay, that's novel. No, it was a jury of people who were virtue signaling. It was a jury of people who were terrified of being called racist. It's a 12 people who were terrified. Genther 46 transitioned from being a transitioned to being a woman from 2014 through 2015, losing her marriage and many friends in the process. That's another. Oh my God, you people dared to not associate. The forced association, it's coming. To an extent, it already exists because of affirmative action. It's the forced association is what we're going for here. This football team has to allow the tranny on their team. We are going to force you to associate with people even if you don't want to associate with them. Wanting to rebuild her life in 2016, she searched for a supportive group to join, blah, blah, blah. She turned to the pages of Lavender, a Minnesota LGBT magazine, and found that the Vixen team seemed to be a welcoming organization. Another publication had a story about a transgender female who played for the team, not the team, but the league, helping rewrite the league's eligibility policy to allow transgender women to play. Genther had never played football before. I went to St. Thomas Academy, an all-boys school, and it was scary to be in a locker room with boys. She said, okay, he said, he, it is a he. Genther is a he. I went to St. Thomas Academy, an all-boys school, and it was scary to be in a locker room with boys, he said. I was uncomfortable with my body. Which is definitely an indicator he might really be a woman, because men don't really have that problem. Even though a lot of times they should. See fat guys all the time. They're not slightly uncomfortable with their body. They should be. Lose some goddamn weight, you fat fucking slob. Go to the goddamn gym. Taunted and bullied, he got involved with martial arts. Quote, I felt empowered. Oh God. And became a second degree black belt, he said. It was a big boost to my self-esteem. No one ever called me a sissy after that. You're a sissy. As a marathon runner who embraced the idea of pushing his body to its limits, he thought playing tackle football would do the same. At first, the Vixen team seemed to embrace and encourage him, he said. But players acted differently towards him at the third tryout, he said. Quote, everyone was cold toward me. Apparently, someone suspected that he was transgender and discovered one of Genther's social media accounts that documented his transition. A call Friday to the Vixen owners not returned. Oh, so in other words, like the owner of the company, well, we'll see. I haven't read this. So did the owner of the company show up and say, oh, you can't be here because you're a tranny? Or this, once again, this is what I'm seeing here. Some people, the girls, the real women, actually born with vagina, on the team found out that this is a man. And they were uncomfortable because we all know that white women from North America must not experience discomfort. Keep that in mind too. So here we have white women from North America going up against a tranny. The tranny won. Who's the apex victim, right? The trannies are up there. See, girls, the trannies have more power than you do. You might want to think about that while you're running around screaming about how men catcalling you on the street is rape. You might want to pay attention to things like this, girls. So the women on the team made a decision to be cold towards this person. They made a personal decision for themselves about whom they were going to associate with, be friends with, to include within their circle of friends. Once again, what this is really about is the tranny trying to use the government to force people to be friends with him. That's what this is about. In fact, I need to write that down. If you think this is anything other than that, you're wrong. I think this is maybe not even about the money, because it only got $20,000. This is about using the state to force other people to be your friends. Once again, this is all fine and wonderful. What are you going to do when the state forces you to be friends with someone you don't like? And I know you're a leftist, you're a social justice warrior, you're diverse and tolerant. Why, you're not filled with hate? Well, I mean, except for heterosexual white men, you hate them. You hate racists. You hate transphobes. You hate homophobes. You hate Republicans. You hate fundamentalist Christians. Oh, you hate those fucking Mormons. Those Mormons are disgusting. Yeah, but you're filled with love and tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism. Because you see, everyone always thinks, well, the government is going to force other people to be friends with people they don't like. But the government, it'll never happen to me. Right? The government will never force me to be friends with someone I don't like. It's not going to happen to me. I'm special. I'm a snowflake. Apparently, someone suspected she was transgender and discovered one of Ginther's social media accounts and documented her transition. A call Friday to the Vixen owner was not returned. Quote, I don't know what could have given me away, unquote, it said. Okay, probably the fact that you're a man is what gave you away. I hate to break this to you, trannies. Very few of you can pass the test. I know you think you look feminine. And believe, dude, guys, people, here in Fort Collins, we got trannies. Oh my God, do we have trannies. I don't know what fucking percentage of the, I'm telling you, man, we got trannies. I have seen enough of them on the interwebs and in person. And they don't pass the test. The idea that you trannies think you look like women, you don't. I mean, people are telling you that. And by people, I mean the doctors who are doing this procedure on you and charging you a bunch of money because they're selling you something. It's like when you go to the used car dealer. Yeah, this car was only driven to church on Sundays by a little old lady. And it's in great shape. It's the same thing. They're telling you what you want to hear because they're making money. You don't look like a woman. You don't. I've seen women before. I really have. I've seen girls. You don't look like a girl. Sometimes insecurity gets the best of her. Are you sure that's not mental illness? Sometimes insecurity gets the best of her, he said. The stereotype is that women like to ask if a dress makes them look fat. I ask, does this make me look like a boy? No, the dress doesn't make you look like a boy. The fact that you're a boy makes you look like a boy. Your chromosomes make you look like a boy. After her transition, Günther legally changed his name and the gender marker on his birth certificate. What he didn't know, he said, was that the IWFL had changed its eligibility policy in 2012, requiring players to certify that they are and have always been legally and medically female. Good job, guys. See, once again, though, here's a bunch of women have come together. Now, if the women were excluding a man, a heterosexual man, be he of any color or any employment status, if women were excluding a heterosexual man, they would have full support of the justice system. Full support. But you can't exclude a mentally ill tranny man. Because you see, all heterosexual men, regardless of skin color or employment status, well, they're all rapists. So it's okay for women who are equal and ride their fish bicycles all the time. It's okay for women to have a safe space where heterosexual men are not allowed because heterosexual men are all rapist. But remember, we can't generalize about people because generalizing, well, that's a form of ism. That's discriminatory. You can't make generalized statements about people. But these same women can't discriminate against the mentally ill man who has had his body mutilated so that he can pretend he's a woman. Quote, no trans person can say they are now and always have been, unquote, said Günther, who played in the Women's Football Alliance the last two seasons, the Minnesota Machine in 2017 and the Madison Blaze in 2018. The WFA League welcomes transgender athletes, she said. The Minnesota Vixens is now a member of that league, according to its website. On the surface, the case may seem to be just about a transgender man who wants to play tackle football, Günther said, but discrimination is never just about a seat on the bus or being allowed to use a bathroom, she said. See, it's exactly like racism. See, once again, what did I say in the previous episode? Two episodes stating the obvious ago, everything comes back to racism. Everything comes back to racism. See, me not being allowed to be on this football team with women, even though I'm a man, it's just like the seat on the bus or being allowed to use the bathroom. I am just like black people who were discriminated against. Thus, you, my opponents, are racist. It's racism all the way down. Here's what, everything on the internet is what? At the most, maybe three levels away from racism? Quote, I love my country, but it's a terrifying feeling when you see your rights being taken away, unquote. However, when you're taking away the rights of other people to own guns, the rights of other people to their property and their money, the rights of other people for freedom of association. See, you don't mind taking away other people's rights. But somehow or another, when your rights are taken away, oh, that's supposed to be a bad thing. In order for you to whine and complain about people taking away your rights, the first thing you have to do, if you expect anyone with brain cells, and there's not a lot of people with brain cells, to take you seriously, is you have to stop taking away other people's rights. Much as if you're a leftist who seeks to destroy the family unit, the nuclear family, you don't get to be surprised when somebody else cucks your wife. If you go through life taking away other people's rights, you don't get to complain about someone else taking away your rights. You have created this. It's just a